From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Well, as a college president, I see firsthand the plight of black colleges. I see the financial struggles. We see what's needed for them to advance and for sustainability. So one of my platforms, one of the major platforms, is HBCUs, a call to action. HBCUs to help market HBCUs, to help students to choose to attend HBCUs. And so along with that, instead of doing something that talks about awareness, because that's where it was headed at first, awareness campaign, we don't need an awareness campaign. HBCUs need money. We're already aware of them. We need money. So we said we would set out to do a campaign to raise money for HBCUs. It started in 2018, the first year that I was president of Alpha Kappa Alpha, and we raised over $1 million, $1.3 million in that one day.
Dr. Glenda Glover, International President of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated and President of Tennessee State University. This past fall, local chapters, private donors, and corporate matching dollars from across the globe helped a 100-year-old service organization reach a $1 million fundraising goal. For the second consecutive year, the sorority has successfully raised $1 million for the benefit of historically black colleges and universities, HBCUs, as part of its HBCU Impact Day initiative. Founded in 1908 on the campus of Howard University in Washington, D.C., Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated is the oldest Greek letter organization established by African-American college-educated women. The sorority is comprised of nearly 300,000 members and more than 1,000 graduate and undergraduate chapters in this country and around the world. I'm Johnny L. Hansen, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, HBCU Impact Day Initiative with Dr. Glenda Glover, International President of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated and President of Tennessee State University in Black America.
We thought the way to make an impact is for the membership to galvanize and show that we're serious about HBCUs. And if you really love something, you will spend money on it. If you love something, you will pay money for it. And so we love HBCUs. We showed that by raising over $1 million. 2018, then we had to repeat it in 2019 and do it again in 2020 and 2021. We plan to raise $1 million each year in support of HBCUs. But let me say this. Not only did we raise it, we gave back out to HBCUs right away. 3 months later, we had a meeting, I guess it was 5 months later, February. We had a meeting in Chicago, invited one-third of the college presidents, HBCU presidents, to Chicago, to the AK corporate office. And we started an endowment at each university. We gave everybody a $50,000 check. Of course, they signed an agreement. And so, because this endowment represents sustainability, and that's what we need to sustain our HBCUs. They need funding.
Dr. Glenda Glover is committed to making a difference in young people's lives. As the International President of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated and President of Tennessee State University, she knows firsthand the importance of a college education. In February 2019, AKA gifted $1.6 million to the first 32 of 96 HBCUs through the AKA HBCU Endowment Fund. The second cycle, consisting of 32 more HBCUs, will be funded in 2020. The endowment fund falls under the organization's Target HBCU for Life, a call to action, which aims to promote HBCUs by encouraging students to attend and matriculate through these institutions. Born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, Glover earned a Bachelor's of Science degree in mathematics from Tennessee State University, a master's from Clark Atlanta, a doctorate from George Washington University, and a law degree from Georgetown University Law Center. Glover is one of a few African-American women to hold the Ph.D., CPA, and J.D. combination in the nation. Recently in Black America spoke with Glover regarding AKA's HBCU Impact Day and the significance of HBCUs.
I was born in Memphis and reared in Memphis. I spent a lot of time in Tennessee and Washington, D.C., and Atlanta, and Jackson, Mississippi. And now I've come back home to Nashville.
Any brothers and sisters?
Yes, six of us, one younger brother, and there are five siblings. I'm the third one.
And I read somewhere that you are a daughter of civil rights activists?
Yeah, my father was a civil rights activist. And in fact, they had a street naming after him last year. We were very honored about that. He passed away in the mid-90s, and so his children are now living up to his goals and ideas.
Tell her what was life like growing up. Yeah, in Memphis, excuse me.
Memphis. Well, I went to high school in Memphis, went to elementary school in Memphis, and my church in Memphis. It was like any other young lady growing up in Memphis. We understood that there a better day was coming. And we looked, my dad did all he possibly could in Memphis to make that day a reality by making sure his children went to college and tried to contribute back to society and become the leaders that we tried to become.
Well, I understand. What were some of your favorite subjects while you were in school?
It was always math. That's why I chose accounting. It was always math. It was always numbers. And I love the dictionary and I love the scriptures.
And you did your undergraduate where? At Tennessee State?
Tennessee State.
And why so?
You can imagine what a blessing it is, what an honor it is to come back and lead the very school that gave me my foundation. It's just an unusual blessing.
I understand. And you're one of few African-American women that holds a PhD, a CPA, and a law degree. Why were you so immersed in education at a young age?
That says it. I was just very much immersed into the education arena, studying the dictionary growing up, trying to pursue the more difficult areas. Because I thought if you learn at the same level as everyone else, then you are going to compete at the same level. But if you chose a harder path, you were slightly ahead above your peers. And so I kind of grew up with that thinking and chose math and accounting and economics and business. So the rewards have been great. I use every aspect of every degree, every day of my life being president of Tennessee State University.
And you pledged AKA in 71. Why that sorority?
AKA 71, Tennessee State University. Let me say this. It's a full circle moment for me. Alpha Kappa Alpha at Tennessee State, come back and lead Tennessee State. It is a full circle moment for me, and it is a very special moment in my life. I chose Alpha Kappa Alpha because of what it represents, the service organization. It was all about service. Not that it's the only service organization, because there are others, but that's the one that stood out most to me at the time.
And you all have had a fundraising initiative. Tell us about the HBCU Impact Day.
Well, as a college president, I see firsthand the plight of black colleges. I see the financial struggles. We see what's needed for them to advance and for sustainability. So one of my platforms, one of the major platforms, is HBCUs, a call to action. HBCU to help market HBCUs, to help students to choose to attend HBCUs. And so along with that, instead of doing something that talks about awareness, because that's where it was headed at first, awareness campaign, we don't need an awareness campaign. HBCUs need money. We're already aware of them. We need money. So we said we would set out to do a campaign to raise money for HBCUs. It started in 2018, the first year that I was president of Alpha Kappa Alpha, and we raised over $1 million, $1.3 million in that one day. We thought the way to make an impact is for the membership to galvanize and show that we're serious about HBCUs. And if you really love something, you will spend money on it. If you love something, you will pay money for it. And so we love HBCUs. We showed that by raising over $1 million. 2018, then we had to repeat it in 2019 and do it again in 2020 and 2021. We plan to raise $1 million each year in support of HBCUs. But let me say this. Not only did we raise it, we gave back out to HBCUs right away. 3 months later, we had a meeting, I guess it was 5 months later, February. We had a meeting in Chicago, invited one-third of the college presidents, HBCU presidents, to Chicago, to the AKA corporate office. And we started an endowment at each university, we gave everybody a $50,000 check. Of course, they signed an agreement. And so, because this endowment represents sustainability, and that's mm-hmm. what we need to sustain our HBCUs. They need funding. So we want to take the lead in that and show, and again, being a college president, I know the needs. I know the financial needs.
What do you see the immediate challenges besides funding, which is a big challenge that HBCUs face today?
Well, yes, funding is always a challenge. But I think the major challenge that HBCUs have, the lack of a solid, the advocacy is what's needed. And when you go to the legislature, you go to other areas, you can really see others out there pushing their universities. They're strong advocates. That's missing in the Black community. We have it to a certain extent, but we need to beef up that, because money will come from those who are pushing your university. That's how you get more funding. You have folk out there beating the bushes and pleading for you. And so that's what we really, really need.
Tell us about your 5-point vision plan for the university.
Oh, sure. Well, the first part of the institution, we want to make sure first that students receive a quality education. That's always why we go to HBCUs. The one single reason that we attend historically Black college is to get a good education. Now, some other things come with it. Of course, coming with that, maybe you're going to have similar minds and some individuals who are similar to you, but the number one reason to get a college education. So that first part of that vision is to make sure that students receive a quality education. And then you want to make sure that there's customer service. Many schools need to improve customer service, and we're one of them. The customer service needs to be beefed up. The customer service is the second one. So you want to have the community engagement, because TSU is part of the community. We don't operate as a solo. We operate within the community in which we serve. And so we want to make sure that we're visible in the community, we're serving the community. And you want to increase our enrollment and ensure that we don't just have enrollment based on numbers. Mm-hmm. Enrollment based on quality of students, to ensure that students have the wherewithal to graduate. We don't do them any service by admitting a student who will have no support, no opportunity to graduate. And so that's why we changed admission standards to do that. And then, of course, public safety is always an issue. So, you know, we had some standards when I came here 7 years ago, but that we've kind of refined them a little bit more as we went along.
How has the enrollment been thus far?
Yeah, enrollment dropped. It declined when we made the standards a little different. We mm-hmm. changed the standards and made them higher to be admitted. But in time, it will come back around. This year, enrollment is up because it took a dive for 2 years. And then this year it's turned around. It took a dive for 3 years. This year it's turned around. We're happy that it is turned around.
Can you talk to us about any partnerships that you all have developed in the city, in Nashville?
Well, because we are so into the community and into the corporate world, and I sit on the corporate board, so I'm really immersed into the corporate world. We have two outstanding new partnerships. In the community itself, we have HCA, the Hospital Corporation of America. We have Regions Bank. We have Amazon, Apple. We have HCA and Regions right here in the city. And also Fifth Third Bank, Pinnacle, Financial Partners. And then we have some national partnerships that we just entered into, which were very special to us. We have one with Apple where we're teaching people how to code, where everyone can code. And not coding where, you know, C++ or COBOL, not that type of coding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're talking about app development and understanding the coding aspects of solving problems. You know, so, and it's been a fun partnership. In fact, this year, this fall, is the first time we're offering the courses for credit. And we've had some academies where we talk about coding, but this fall we're doing it for credit. And we have about 1,000 students who are interested at various levels, where between high school, the dual enrollment, the alumni at the college level, at the graduate level, and then there are those who are in doctorate programs who's taking the course. So it's everyone can code, everyone can create. This is a music city, so we're talking about creativity, music creativity. And then the product of Amazon. So Amazon has moved to Nashville. Is in the process of moving to Nashville. And so we're developing an outstanding partnership with Amazon. In fact, they've endowed a professor in our College of Engineering in the computer science area. So we're having fun with the partnerships. We're developing more. Each time we meet, we want to Silicon Valley, just meet with firms and establish new partnerships.
This is In Black America. We'll be back with more of our conversation in a moment. Now, on with our conversation. I understand that when you were at Jackson State, you implemented a PhD program in business, part two of that program. How important are these PhD programs to the sustainability of HBCUs for the future?
Absolutely important. We start growing our own doctors. And once there was a time when I would hear my peers make comments that you don't want all your degrees from a black college. You want to make sure you only get one degree. Well, that's just ludicrous. If you have the quality of the faculty and you have a good university, a great university, yes, stay there and get a degree. That's what happens in majority institutions. They have spots that are pretty much, I'm not going to say earmarked, but spots for students who attend them at the undergraduate level. And so there's nothing wrong with getting a master's degree or a doctorate from your HBCU. And so we grow our own doctor. We come back and teach the knowledge that we've gained to the students. That's what it's all about. That's how we sustain ourselves. We grow doctorates, and we come back and let them impart that knowledge to others.
How do you all go about in the recruitment process?
Well, we meet with superintendents, and we meet with faculty, we meet with principals, and discuss the high demand areas. STEM, health sciences, business. So, and we have various receptions across the state and across the country. We have a grassroots approach because we think every student is important. Every student has value. Everybody seeks the great student with the good GPA, and we are no different. But that's how we got Tupac, Mosley.
Yeah, talk to us about Mr. Mosley. How's he doing?
Oh, he's doing great. I see him two or three times a week. He's just an outstanding young man. I mean, a 4.2 GPA, 31 ACT. I mean, he had a stint when he was homeless. He just didn't give up. He doesn't quit. And he's been helping his friends get into TSU. He's been telling them about TSU. He's a great recruiter, so we love him for that. And he recruits good students, 3.1 and above. And he loves it here at TSU. And he has an issue. He has access to the president now because the way we went down and picked him up and brought him back to Nashville to make sure he was no longer homeless.
What is his major?
Engineering. Engineering. Yes, he's in engineering. He said he's doing well. I talked to one of his professors, and they said he was doing well.
Has it been difficult over the years in recruiting faculty to your institution and other HBCUs?
Some HBCUs have problems recruiting faculty. I think the location helps because we're in Nashville, and because Nashville is such a growing city, right. And 100 people move here per day, according to the news. It's not hard to recruit people to come to Nashville. We have to make sure we get the right person for our university who can impart the right knowledge to the students. That's very important to make sure that students are getting what they need from the professors. And we stay on top of that one.
What lessons have you learned thus far as the 8th president of Tennessee State University?
I learned that it's a lot of fundraising. I learned that it's a 24-hour job. But I love it. I think it's all about being back home and being well received in your hometown and your home state. A lot of it is absolutely political. It's very, but I grew up in a political home, and so I understand the politics. I grew up knowing the politics of Tennessee, and then it got dispersed with some politics in Georgia and D.C. and Mississippi. But then I came back to Tennessee, and I understand it here. And it's And it's knowing the faculty and respecting the faculty and understanding shared governance. That yes, I sit in the chair as president, but I understand and respect the faculty because that's who we depend on to keep our students going. And so when they bring things to me to consider, I have to make sure that I have an open mind. And many times, they're great ideas. So,
Do HBCU presidents meet annually or semi-annually on a regular basis?
There are several groups. We have the United Negro College Fund. You know, UNCF
right.
works with private schools. And then we have Thurgood Marshall work with public schools. And then we have the NAFIO, National Association of Equal Opportunity, which works with all with both together. And so UNCF first. UNCF has now extended itself to a few. They're doing some tests and doing some extensions to private to public schools, too, because TSU has a grant along with two other HBCUs work with UNCF, and I sit on the board of UNCF. You know, I'm a state president. I sit on the board by being president of Alpha Kappa Alpha. I'm on the board of UNCF. And then I work with Thurgood Marshall quite closely because Thurgood Marshall has given us scholarships for our students. Last year, this year, we called him up and said, listen, we're in need. We got students getting ready to go home for non-pay for no funding. And so they find ways to help, you know, because they're there to help us as public institutions. And then we have the NAFIO, which is more of our legislative arm and just the conglomerate there. We, you know, a lot of public and private under the umbrella of NAFIO, and they work very diligently with us to ensure that we're on top of things on the Hill and some other aspects.
Does the fundraising initiative that Alpha Kappa Alpha is undergoing, is it year-round? And those that hadn't participated in the initiative day this last week, can they still make a donation?
Oh, yes. It's year-round. We have a big emphasis on this one day. We designate HBCU Day, Impact Day, HBCU Impact Day for AKA. And that's when we ask all the sorority members and others to just call in and give or send money in, do a credit card, go online and give. But it's year-round. We have year-round initiatives. We did it last year at our annual meeting. And then the various regional conferences, we take up collections, and we talk to the various corporations, ask them to give. So that's what we're doing now. We're partnered with several companies, and they've all made contributions and made commitments. So that's why this $1 million one day is so important and so much, very much needed, because we know what HBCUs need. So we try to make it a year-round effort to raise money. But don't let me leave that without telling you how anyone can give. So they can text AKA HBCU to 44321. That's AKA HBCU. You text that to 44321. Or you can just give by mail. You can send it to the AKA corporate office or online. It's AK1908.com.
Dr. Glover, do you have an opportunity to go out and speak to young people about the importance of a college education in this 21st century?
All the time. I'm doing Sunday in Clarksville, Tennessee. Then 2 weeks later, back down to Jackson State. And then 2 weeks later, back in Memphis at another church, I think it's Mount Olive Church. I've been to Mississippi Boulevard in Memphis, and just various churches, and then various other, you know, the community. I was a commencement speaker, so we're always talking to, and then just meeting with students one-on-one or at other programs. I get invited as much as the schedule can permit. And then at the Congressional Black Caucus, we're meeting, my student went up there, so I met with students there. They're already in school. We talked about graduate school. And so there's just so many opportunities that we're just so appreciative of. So we have to stay focused on what we're doing. And we're talking to students about attending HBCU. Well, first, go to college. And then if you choose to go to college, we want you to consider HBCUs. If you don't, go to college, period. That's one of our programs to get students in college, called #CAP, the college admissions process, to help students get through that process of going to college. I found that many of the students, many of our population, don't understand how to get into college. They can go online, do an application, but after that, they don't really understand how to go back and just follow it through for financial aid, how to find scholarships, ACT, how to prove ACT score. So we're doing all of that to help students. And my administration is very education-centered. But it also has, you know, some other elements, too. It has, you know, we have breast cancer awareness, where we have a breast cancer mobile unit that goes around, travels around the country, giving mammograms to women who cannot afford to do it, to have them otherwise. Because you and I both know that women, that is for African American mm-hmm. women, we find out much later in life, much later in the process. We're stage 4 when we find out we have cancer. And so we wanted to do those. And so we've done over 200 already. And of those, probably about, I would say about 15% have tested back positive, which is good. Well, not good, but it's good that we found out. You know, that's the purpose of it, to make sure you have an abnormal. If it, no, I can't say positive, it tested out, something abnormal came back. And that means that you have further, now go back to the doctor. Then we have economics to show you how to do your financial planning, to ensure by the time you get to retirement age, you won't be worried about, do I have enough money to live? Mm-hmm. So we'll show you how to live within your means, how to save and how to spend intelligently. And then, of course, we're back to the arts. We can never ignore the arts. The Harlem Renaissance, a salute to the Harlem Renaissance and black history. And then, of course, then the last one is internationalism, how we can make sure AKA is international. So those are the 5 points, which are, again, the first one is education, which you asked about. That's what we're doing, education, raising money for black colleges.
Dr. Glover, before we run out of time on this conversation, what would you tell a young individual? Because we still have a lot of young people who say they don't need to go to college or don't want to go to college. Why is it important that a college education is obtained for the future of this society?
Well, it's all about self-improvement and self-sustainability. If you want to improve your standing in your community, your standing in life, you really want to consider college. You want to go to college. You don't want to stop at the first 4 years. You want to go on to graduate school and get as much education as possible. That is truly, truly the ticket. And so we tell students, we don't run across that many students, even those who we thought may say, I'm not going to college. Students want to go to college. That's why it's so important to try to have financial resources available for them. Because I think the average student, if we have found, and we're in every neighborhood, the wealthy neighborhood, those that are below the certain census tract, they all want to go to college.
Dr. Glenda Glover, International President of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, and President of Tennessee State University. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to your future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at KUT.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.